storms of life are raging, and I look around me and see the crashing billows, and I am afraid. But then I look at Jesus and cry to him for mercy. His outstretched hand reminds me he's the master of the waves. When he is my joy is unspeakable. When he is my strength, I can do all things. When he is my peace, it passes understanding. When Jesus is my song, I always have a reason to sing. Often I am tempted to seek for contentment in temporary pleasures this world offers today. But when I look at Jesus, again I am reminded the peace and joy he gives me, they will never pass away. When he is my joy is unspeakable. When he is my strength, I can do all things. When he is my peace, it passes understanding. When Jesus is my song, I always have a reason to sing. Friends may fail and trials come, circumstances change. Jesus is the only one who is always the same. When he is my joy is unspeakable. When he is my strength, I can do all things. When he is my peace, it passes understanding. When Jesus is my song, I always have a reason to sing. When Jesus is my song, I always have a reason to
song. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. Go to the book of Galatians. Find that passage, chapter 4 in the book of Galatians. If you're getting familiar with your Bible, you will go through the Gospels and the book of Romans. Keep going to your right there, and you will pass through Corinthians and come to the 6th chapter book of Galatians and find chapter 4. And we're going to look through some of these verses this morning and actually draw our attention to a couple of verses especially. Let's stand together. If you're able to stand, join me. Beginning in verse 17 is where I will read this morning. We're going to look at some other verses in the text. Galatians 4, verse 17. Paul says, they, we'll explain that in a moment, zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. And so I want you to notice the word there in verse number 18, the words zealously affected. That's the title of the message from the Bible today, zealously affected. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the joy, the privilege of being in this service this morning, lifting our voices to sing to you. the praise that you you are just so worthy of. Thank you for every guest here, for the many members, for those, Lord, who attend faithfully. Lord, would you please now come? It's wonderful to have the folk here this morning, but God, if you're not present in the service, we're going to miss out on the best. So would you please come? Holy Spirit, power and anointing on both speaker and listener. And exactly what we'll be preaching about this morning. Help us, Lord, to really give an ear to the truth of your word. And may it do a work in hearts today. We'll thank you in Christ's name and amen. Thank you. And be seated. Galatians is a different book than most of the others that came from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Galatia was not a city. Galatia was a country. And when Paul wrote this letter, God had him write it to the churches, plural, of Galatia. So this letter was to be circulated from church to church throughout the region of Galatia, which is now, today, the country of Turkey, by and large, okay? Now, Paul's letter to those churches was written in response to the false teachers that followed him into the country and actually from church to church. You see, Paul had gone into Galatia preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as was his custom, he went to the Jew first, preaching the gospel. He preached that salvation was through the finished work of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and apart from everything else, including the works of the law. Now, people, let me just say that salvation is the same today. It is not through the works of the law. It is by faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Jesus died by the shedding of his blood to pay the sin debt that all of us owed. And he purchased eternal life for all mankind, and God gives it as his gift. Now, you got to think about that. Salvation is a gift. All right? He gives salvation as a gift to anyone who repents of their sin and receives Jesus as their Savior. That's what the Word of God, that was Paul's message back in the first century, okay? And so that message was hated by the religious Jews. The gospel message was turning people from the bondage of the works of the law to the freedom of salvation by grace through faith. And on top of being saved, once the Jews got saved, trusted Christ as Savior, they started attending these local assemblies along with converted Gentiles. And you had Jews and Gentiles going to church together. And the religious lost Jewish leadership hated everything to do with Christ, with salvation by grace through faith, with these local assemblies. They hated it all. And they worked against it. They started working against Paul. They started working against his message of the gospel. Paul would leave an area where he had just preached and seen people saved and baptized, maybe started a church. He would leave an area and here they would come. They would come right behind him on his heels. And basically, their message to those saved people was this. You can believe in Jesus. Just make sure that you also keep doing the works of the law. In other words, we don't care if you add Jesus to your works. Just don't quit your works. I want to tell you something, folks. The Bible says in the book of Romans that salvation is either all of grace or not of grace at all. So you start adding anything to it. You start adding anything to it, and it takes away from the power of God that is the gospel. Look back at Galatians chapter 1. I showed the people this in the Bible lesson here on Wednesday night. Look at Galatians chapter 1. This is what the Holy Ghost of God gave Paul to write about these false teachers. Look at verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Now look at this. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. People who tell you that you have to do anything other than to trust Jesus for salvation are perverting the gospel message. Okay. Is it right to get baptized after you're saved? Yes. If you add baptism as a work to finish salvation, that's a perversion. It's good to be a member of a Bible preaching church, but if you add church membership to faith in Jesus, you're perverting the gospel of Christ. So on and on I could go this morning, okay, with all kinds of things. Now look at the next verse. Look at verse number 8. Paul says, but though we, so he includes himself, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so he's going to repeat. So say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know what that word accursed means? That word accursed means damned to hell. And he didn't say it just once. He said it twice. That's how strongly God feels about people perverting the message of eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, plus nothing and minus nothing. You add to that, you're perverting the gospel. And anybody that preaches that is cursed to hell. And that's what Paul said. So this is what he's up against. And these Jewish believers, you know what's going on in Galatia? You know what's going on in this country? In Galatia, there was an active plan of subversion. Subversion. You know what subversion is? It's an overthrow of foundation which leads to utter ruin. The overthrow of a foundation which leads to utter ruin. And that's exactly where what these religious Jews were attempting to do. Now, wait a minute. Time out. They could not undo anybody's salvation. So if people had already believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and trusted him, they were secure in that belief, in that faith. Secure. But you had people on the edge. You had people on the precipice. You had people close to believing. And here they came with this message of perversion. Okay, that God said they should be damned. They're going to be damned to hell with that message. And so here's what they could not undo anybody's salvation. But listen, they could do damage even to those who have been saved. They could hinder and cut short the growth of those who had just been saved. Because just like people get saved by grace, people grow by grace. That's how you grow. It's all the work of God. It's all done by grace. People, you don't work your way to sanctification any more than you work your way to salvation. It's the work of God's Spirit in us. And if he's not hindered, that's the work that he accomplishes. You're in chapter 4. Look at chapter 3 here. Look what Paul said in chapter 3 at the very beginning of chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? There's that perversion. There's that satanic influence, okay? That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Paul said, I want to ask you a question. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? Were you saved by the works of the law? Or were you saved by the hearing of faith? Well, what's the right answer, folks? Hearing of faith. Now look at verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? You got saved through the work of the Spirit of God in your heart, and now you're gonna work yourself to a position of being set apart to Christ, sanctified? Oh, no, 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 no. You and I cannot affect anything when it comes to our spiritual well-being. From start to finish, it's all done through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you and I can hinder that work, or we can encourage that work. But it's not us that does it. And what these people were doing, they were not only damning to hell the folks that had not yet been saved, they were hindering the growth of Christians who had trusted Christ by telling them, you've got to continue in the works of the law to even consider yourself, you know, for eternal life and all this stuff. So the Holy Spirit has Paul write about all of this in the book of Galatians, but I want to boil it down to this simple truth. Do you know what the Holy Spirit had Paul do when he wrote this letter? Paul was earnestly contending for truth. He was exalting truth. He was holding up truth. He did not want these new converts to Christ to be led away from truth. And the truth is, they were being affected by false teachers. And people, that's why you and I have to be careful. that we don't put ourselves under the influence of false preachers and teachers today. Don't think for a moment that they've gone away. They haven't stopped preaching and teaching. They're still out there today. So we have to be careful, okay? Look what he said in verse 17. We read it just a moment ago. He said, they. Verse 17, chapter 4. They, that's the false teachers, zealously affect you. What's he saying there? They work hard at affecting your faith. They work hard at attacking what you have been taught, these false teachers. Wait a minute. But not well. Their work does not end up making you the better. They really affect you in a negative way. Then he says, yea, they would exclude you. You know what they were doing? They were working to drive a wedge between them and truth. And a step further, they were working to drive a wedge between them, these Galatians, and the truth bearer, Paul, working to drive a wedge in there. They wanted to turn their hearts away from Paul and the truth that Paul had preached to them. That's what he's saying here. And then it says at the very end of the verse, that ye might affect them. You know what they want? They want your love. They want your respect. They want your fellowship. They want that. They want all of that. They were working to tear down Paul's reputation in order to build up their own. That's what was happening here. And Paul said, I know this is going on. Of course, this is not just Paul's word. This is the word of God coming through the pen of the Apostle Paul. So this is what's happening in Galatia. These false teachers are coming in on the heels of Paul's ministry. Yeah, we appreciate what Paul told you about Jesus, but don't forget the works of the law. And you know, you got to be circumcised. You got to keep the feast days. You got to keep the holy days. You got to do all this stuff. And you got to do all this. And what they were doing, they were driving a wedge between the Galatians and truth. They were driving a wedge between Galatians, the Galatian people, and the truth bearer. Folks, Paul had a history with these people. Look back at number 13, verse number 13. Look at what he said here in verse 13. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. You know that most people think that Paul had a real problem with his eyes. Paul was not, how do you say it? Paul was certainly not a man that would have graced the cover of GQ. I'm not sure there are many men who do grace the cover of GQ. Paul was not one who was comely in his physical appearance. Paul's physical appearance would make you and me turn your head. I remember when I was working at the grocery store, I think I've told this before, working at the grocery store and this woman came in. You know, if the store closes at 9 o'clock, you ever worked in a grocery store? I guess a restaurant too. The last thing you want is to see somebody come in at 4 minutes till 9. That's disaster. And she took her time going through the store. She had like 2 carts of groceries. And I'm bagging her groceries. And she's got a pair of sunglasses on. It's nighttime. And she's standing like this. And I'm standing like this. So I can see behind her. And there's great big gobs of pus and stuff coming out of her eyes. And the ends of her fingers were missing. End of her fingers. And it literally, I had to turn to look, and I'm not judging her, but just her physical appearance turned my stomach. Found out afterwards that she suffered from leprosy. I mean, eating away at her flesh, her eyes. Found out that later. That was what the Apostle Paul had, something similar. Look, I know I'm not much to look at, but I don't think I'd make you turn your head, okay? Now, when Larry preaches, that's a different story, okay? So they couldn't look at Paul. But wait a minute. His message so captivated these people, that they looked beyond his physical infirmity. Look at what he said in verse 14. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not. This whatever this was, nor rejected. Look at it. But received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. They gave Paul their heart. Look at verse 15. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. That's why we think this disease was in Paul's eyes. He said, you would have been willing to take your good eyes and trade them for my bad eyes. That's how much you listened to me. That's how much you loved me. That's how much you cared for me. That's what he said here. And now they're ready to abandon his message because of these false teachers. And Paul said, what's happened? What is going on here? I mean, first, when I came to you at the first and preached unto you, you had to overcome the physical difficulty of looking at me because of this disease that's in my body. And you cared so much for the message that you would have swapped your good eyes for my bad eyes. And now I can't get a word in edgewise with you. You're being zealously affected the wrong way by these false teachers that are coming in. And that's what, you know, Paul, look at what he said in verse 16. And this is every preacher's nightmare. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Well, that's a powerful question. Paul said, I was your friend, but now I have become your enemy. That's how affected these people had become after listening to those false preachers. And so, he says in verse number 18, it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Hey, what I want you to be zealous about is good things, not bad ones. He wanted them to be zealously affected by truth, not error. That was his whole concern. Truth, truth, truth. Don't make an enemy out of the one who preaches or teaches the truth to you. Wait a minute. Not so much for the truth bearer's sake, for the sake of the truth. The important matter is the truth. Now, obviously, the truth bearer is necessary, but the truth is far more necessary. Paul said, I'm not in this for myself. I'm in this for the message. I'm not in this for me. I'm not in this for your allegiance. I'm not in this for your loyalty as much as I'm in this for the truth's sake. Because, buddy, when you abandon truth, you're on thin ice in a lot of areas. And so Paul said, you know, I want you to be zealously affected. Just be zealously affected about the right things. You're going the other direction. Zealously. And the word zealously, you might make them know, it means with eagerness. With eagerness. It's good to be affected with eagerness, with warmth of passion in a good thing. What is a good thing? Truth is a good thing. Yes, it is. You know, there's so much in this book right here. We just blow right by. I was speaking, you know, the lesson this morning in the discipleship class was on the devil. People talk about, you know, the influence of the media. And what goes out across the airwaves and what's available on the internet and the iCloud and all this stuff through the atmospheric heaven. Well, the Bible says that the air has power. Yes. In Ephesians, the air has, there's power in the atmosphere. And guess who's the prince of that power? The devil. He rules in that domain. And so all, you know, we say, man, be careful about what you hear on the news. Be careful what you listen to, what you watch. Be careful about the airwaves, because what goes out over the airwaves is not always true. That's right, my friend, because the prince of the power of the air is none other than Satan himself. And boy, Paul said, that's what Paul is concerned about, truth. And he's concerned about them being zealously affected by something that's good, not by something that leads them away from the truth. Don't allow yourself to be carried away with false teaching, with error, but certainly allow yourself to be affected with eagerness, to be carried away when it comes to truth. That's what he's telling them. And guess what? It's still good for us today. God's people should be zealously affected, affected with eagerness, with warmth of passion about the truth. Truth ought to be high on our list. If not one, then 1A. When it comes to things about which we are zealous. Truth, no matter who it comes through. And you're going to have, starting next Sunday, you're going to have 4 weeks of a lot of different voices. On Sunday and Wednesday, a lot of different voices. You know what? You may prefer some over others. He's too soft. He's too loud. He's too funny. He's not so funny. He's verse by verse. He's topical. Folks, look, if it's truth, it really doesn't matter who it comes through. Really doesn't matter if it's funny or not. If it's loud or quiet. You know, we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Well, I don't care for his style. And miss truth? Miss truth? Because I don't like somebody's style? I'm going to trade truth for style? Be honest with you, folks. I've heard a lot of style in preaching that hadn't had a whole lot of truth in it. I was in a service one time where guy was preaching so fast, so loud. So I'm a grown adult man. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. That was before I got old. And I saw these 11, 12, 13-year-old boys standing on a pew 4 or 5 rows in front of me, beating their Bibles in the air. And I'm looking at the guy next to me. What's he preaching? He said, I can't understand him. I said, what are they doing? They're just cheering style. Cheering style. You know what you cheer, folks? You cheer truth. If it's a style you like or you don't like, doesn't matter. If it's truth, you cheer it. No matter how it comes to us, no matter if it makes us feel good or bad, it ought to be a high priority in our lives. Okay, some suggestions. 3 things I want to tell you on how to prioritize truth so that it zealously affects us. Truth ought to zealously affect us. That's why I think church services ought to be enthusiastic, in control, orderly, because that's how God is, but not dead. Because truth ought to just, you go watch the, I don't know what Chicago team to even point you to right now. Is there a team anywhere in Chicago that I could point you to and you say when you watch them play, you get zealously affected in the right way? Right now, you get zealously affected in the wrong way. What's the matter with you? Come on, be honest. We all get zealously affected by certain things. This is the place that we ought to be zealously affected. It ought to be an attitude of eagerness, of expectation, of anticipation. Why? Because hopefully, when the man stands up with the Word of God, we're going to get some truth. So let's do it. Now, some suggestions. Number one, listen to truth carefully. Listen to truth carefully. There is a difference in hearing and listening. We go through life, we hear a lot of sounds, right? But we don't listen to all of them. There are 2 words that are often used in the Old Testament, repeated often. Those 2 words are the word give ear. Give ear. Isaiah 42:23 says this, who among you will give ear to this? God is saying through Isaiah, who's going to listen? Who's going to give ear? You know what the term means? It means to broaden out the ear, to listen. Anybody here know what an ear trumpet is? An ear trumpet is what they used to use before there was hearing aids. It was shaped like a trumpet with a narrow end, and they put it up to their ear. You know what the end of it was? It was broadened out so they could listen to what was being said. You know what we need to do? When God says in the Old Testament, give ear, give ear, give ear, give ear. He said, put your ear trumpet on. Broaden out your ear. You know, most of the time, the words are used as people were praying to God. David said in Psalm 55:1, give ear to my prayer, O God. You know what that's like saying? God, do you have your ear trumpet in? God, listen to me. You know, we are familiar with the intent of that phrase. We just say it a little differently because we say to our kids, now you listen to me. Right? And when we say that, what are we saying? It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. This is not something that's a request, okay? This is a command. And obviously, we do not command God to listen, but we do plead, oh God, please hear me. But God does command us to broaden our ear, to give ear when truth is preached. When it is time for the preaching or teaching of God's Word, broaden your ears. Listen carefully to the truth. I know I've been on this before, but I still believe that many of God's people come to Sunday morning unprepared to listen to truth. You stay up way too late, way later than necessary on Saturday night. Pastor, why do you clap your hands every now and again? You really like what you're saying? No, because some people are sleeping. That's why. Why don't you just let them sleep? Because truth is truth. Truth should be listened to. Just be glad all I do is clap my hands. Be glad I don't come to where you're sitting in the aisle, you know, and preach over here, you know. You awake now, Trace? He was never asleep. His dad will get on his digger. He was never asleep. What's more important Saturday night at midnight than the message from God's Word? Your text? Your website? There's no wonder you. Why Sunday? Do you actually fall asleep at 11:30 Thursday morning? You fall asleep at 11:30 on Tuesday morning? Why Sunday? So who do you think you are? I'm nobody, folks. I'm just doing what God's told me to do. But this book right here is everything. You know what it demands? It demands my attention. Broaden my ear. Broaden my ear. Prepare your heart. Prepare your mind to listen carefully to truth. You know, and God may not speak to you in a loud, booming way. It may be He will speak to you like He spoke to Elijah. I don't have time to go in. Remember the story of Elijah, right? He's discouraged. He's suicidal. He despairs of his life. And he needs to hear from God. And this great big strong wind passes by. And God doesn't speak to him. And this earthquake passes by. And there's no voice from God. And this roaring fire passes by. And there's no, but after the fire, a still small voice. And Elijah heard it. Salvaged his life. Salvaged his ministry. I still believe. I would not be doing this if I did not believe with all of my heart that one truth heard by somebody can change their life. I still believe that. Listen to truth carefully. Carefully. Number two, learn truth repeatedly. Learning is more than listening. Come on, church. Can we listen to something without learning it? Okay. Learning. Do you know the secret to learning? Repetition. Repetition is the key to learning. Remember flashcards? I got one better than that. Parents, remember Speedy Reader? And some of you don't know what that is, but in school, they used to teach them to read with Speedy Reader. That right now is bringing nightmares to parents and to kids in this room, adults right now. But I'm going to tell you what. You know what they learned to do through Speedy Reader? They learned to read. We don't use it anymore, so none of them can read. Anyway. Repetition is the key to learning. You know, it's a sad day in our world when we have to have a security team at church, right? And that's what some of those fellows are doing out there right now. And these team members are licensed. Some of them are licensed to carry weapons. And they got to qualify in using one to receive the license. Did you know that one of the key elements to learning to use a weapon properly is what they call muscle memory? You with me? You know what muscle memory is? It's the act of committing a specific motor task to memory. In other words, that's accomplished, folks, through repetition. That's where drawing your gun and being ready to use it properly is done by reflex. Not now, I got to get my gun out of my holster. I got to bring it up to my abdomen. I got to extend it like this and get in my position. That's not muscle memory. Muscle memory is. You know how that's learned? Repetition. You know what Bill Graham will say to you? Get in front of your mirror, put your holster on, bring your gun up. Practice it and practice it and practice it until it becomes muscle memory. That old boy down in Texas, how many years ago, where he had to kill that guy in the auditorium who was shooting people? Muscle memory. Did you ever stop to think about why God wants us to be in a church service regularly? Why does God want us to read our Bible regularly? Not once a week. Over and over and over. And it's Sunday and I'm in church morning, night. And Wednesday night, if I'm not working, I'll go to the Bible study. And it's going and going and going, reading and going and reading and going and going. Because, folks, attending services, reading your Bible repeatedly is the key to learning truth. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. I was at the hospital with Cheryl and her cousin Dawn. I think when Kevin drew his last breath, his heart continued to beat a little bit. Gloria was at home alone, so I left and asked Cheryl to text me because it was minutes. Would you text me when they call it? And I pulled in the driveway of your mom's house there when your text came, 406. And I walked in. Gloria, how's Kevin? I said, well, Kevin is with the Lord. I had to tell her that Kevin was in heaven. She's 88 years of age. We talked a little while. She said, well, what was it like at the hospital? I said, well, when I got there, they were just taking the machines off of him. And they knew it wouldn't be long. And I said, they were talking, Cheryl and Dawn were talking to him. I started quoting scriptures to him. I said, Kevin, Pastor, they say the last hearing to go is, the last sense to go is hearing. So that's why it's never too late to talk to your loved one. Well, I guess it could be, but. So I said, Pastor Angel, I'm here, Kevin. You're about to enter into that wonderful place called heaven. And the Bible says, yea, though, and I'm talking to Gloria. And I said, I quoted Psalm 23, yea, though I walk. 88-year-old lady started quoting it word for word with me. Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. 88 years old. I said, I started quoting John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. She starts, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. This 88-year-old lady is repeating this word for word. She can't hurt. She'll be lucky to get to the funeral. Her health is just gone. But obviously there was a time in her life where she more than just listened to truth, she learned it. Learned it. 2 Corinthians 5, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Learning truth. Listen to truth carefully. Learn truth repeatedly. I'm done. We got to go. Number three, live truth faithfully. And folks, to me, this is it. This is it right here. You can listen to it and you can learn it. But until you live it, it never really becomes a part of us. The Apostle John wrote, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. When he said walk in truth, he was talking about living in truth. Living in it. We must carry truth out in our lives. Truth has got to be applied. So I listen to it, I learn it, and then I live it. And I should do that zealously. Zealously. We get zealous about anything and everything, it seems, except for the best thing. We're zealous about our work. We're zealous about our vocation. We're zealous about our home, where we live, and our gardens, and our vehicles, and our recreation. I'm not a kid. That's good stuff. But truth goes way above all of that. I should be warm with passion, zealously affected by truth. Listen to it, learn it, live it. And Paul said, not only when I am present with you. He wasn't there, was he? Wasn't there. Somewhere else. You know what I hope? I hope the next four Sundays, y'all come in here. I hope there's an anticipation, an eagerness, an excitement, zealously affected, because I think Brother Allen's up next Sunday morning, and then it's, and I forget who's up. Oh, you're at the Kite River, and then you got Brother Dan Martin coming, and you got Brother Larry Brown coming, and you got guys on Wednesday night, and Larry's going to speak once, and Ed Bragg is going to speak. I don't know if it doesn't matter. What matters is this. Okay. So Paul said, whether I'm there or not, be zealously affected by truth. Just eaten up with it. Passionate about it. Zealously affected. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me just ask a couple of questions. Who's here today? Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I needed prompting in that. I needed some admonishment in that area. I'm not mad. I'm not offended about anything you said today, but it helped me. I need it. Can I see your hand this morning if that's you? If that's you today. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody here? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure. You talked about salvation at the beginning of the message. It's the free gift of God. It's received through Jesus Christ. You repent, trust Christ, receive the free gift of God, which is eternal life. You say, Pastor, I'm clueless about that. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. Pray for me. Can I see your hand if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven? Can I pray for you this morning? Anybody like that, just slip it up, take it right back down, side to side, front to back. Remember, man, boy, girl, lady, doesn't matter age, anybody. If you're here today, you've been saved, never been baptized. Now's the time to be obedient to Christ. Step out and follow Him in believer's baptism, and that would be very pleasing to Him. And if the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart in a specific way this morning, the best thing to do is to respond. Let's stand together, heads are bowed. Father, bless the invitation to our service today. This is the time for us to respond to your word. I pray that you'll move on the hearts of people to obey you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Many, many hands were up. God spoke to hearts. Are you ready? Are you wanting to humble yourself this morning and say, that's me. I needed that. I needed that. I had that admonishment to listen to truth, to learn truth, to live truth. It's what I needed. Would you come this morning? If you're not saved, would you obey the Lord today? Follow the Lord and believe. Come to be saved or follow the Lord and believers' baptism. Would you come if God spoke to your heart? That's the main thing this morning. While we wait, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.